Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this will undoubtedly be a slightly shorter reflection on the text than a sermon would be. A sermon is always a co-creation between the preacher and the congregation. And here I do not know where you are, but as I have just come back in from shoveling snow and having doubts about the cleanliness of my own spirit as I did that, I thought we could talk just a little bit about this Gospel of Mark. Now, as I said in the scripture description, part of what is going on in the early part of the Gospel of Mark is that we are establishing who Jesus is. First, we are establishing the prediction of Jesus' coming, this person who is greater than that baptizer John. Then we see Jesus as a person who others will follow and will come with him as they seek to go about their vocations in a spiritual way. And here we have another testimony, this one from the demon, from the unclean spirit within an individual, recognizing Jesus' power over them. Now, it's all well and good to say that this is what is going on in Mark, but the key thing for us is, what does it mean in our own lives? Because we struggle so much about the role of Jesus in our lives, the role of Jesus and God in this modernist and postmodernist era, this era when we have so many different things that we value now, that we sometimes wonder what is at the center of our beings. And so understanding this, that Jesus has been seen as someone worthy of being followed, of someone who has the ability to heal not only bodies, as we will get to later, but also the spirits of those people around him, is something for us, because so often we feel like we have unclean spirits. Last week we talked about anxiety in the case of Jonah, but here we think about shame. We think about the things we mean to do, the things we ought to do, the things that we wish we could do and see that others are doing, and wonder why we can't do them too, and wonder why we are not as good as those people that we see around us. And it's common. You and I have both done it. We have looked at the stories in the news and seen people who seem to transcend the place they are in life. Here in Ankeny, there's a guy named Dave Kissinger, who many of you know. Dave Kissinger is a coach and a guidance counselor. But now if you look around, he is in charge of coordinating a lot of things for the Ankeny Backpack Program. It was, I believe, his idea to start a prom dress drive so people who could not afford those high prices for prom dresses did not need to stay home out of their own shame. It was he who looked around and saw, look, there are people who need coats way before the coat drives start in the middle of winter. It gets cold in November. So we should do that too. And he started the FEWD program. And I bring these up, of course, partly because our mission focus is for the Ankeny Backpack Program, and he is deeply involved with that. He's not the one who organized it, I don't think, but he is deeply involved in it. But you look at him, you look at his second act in life, and you say, why can't I do that? Why can't I see all these things, all these ways to help other people? He is so good, and I am not. We feel a little guilt and shame at not being able to do these things that we know we ought to do and would like to do. And that's natural. It's, you know, in some ways, guilt is a motivation. In some ways, it's a reminder that there are more things that we can do. But I think central to this story is the recognition that we cannot wallow in shame and guilt. We cannot wallow in these feelings that we ought to be better. It is good to think that we can be better. But what Jesus says is, give yourself over to me. I have the power to forgive you. You are forgiven for not being the absolute best example of everything you wish you could be. You are forgiven for that. You need not feel shame any longer at that. But that forgiveness comes with an opportunity. Know that you are good enough, and know that in you is the ability to do these things you wish you could do. Know that in you is the ability to go out and help people get food who do not have food. Know that in you is the ability to do these things. You have the opportunity to go out and live and love. And you need not feel guilty about not having done it. Instead, Jesus says here, come out. Come out. Be silent and come out. And we can turn those words around on our lives and say, okay, let's stop talking about our shame, even inside our own heads, and come out and see other people and work with other people and take advantage of the time that we have to help one another to do those things that we wish we could do. Instead of seeing the limitations before us, let us see the opportunities that Jesus gives us. The opportunity of being forgiven, of leaving those feelings behind and moving forward into new life. For this is the good news of Jesus Christ. That for all of us, no matter where we were born, no matter where we think our story started, our stories really started in God's creation. We are all loved children of God, all of us equally. Whatever we have done, wherever we are now, we are still loved children of God, and through Jesus, we have been forgiven. So the next story, know, and the next part of the story, know that we can be reconciled to each other and to God. We are forgiven. There is hope for reconciliation for all of us. Now let us be silent and come out. Amen.